KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Job growth continues to be sluggish, but there's one exception. Temporary work. The number of temp and contract jobs has increased by more than 23% since early 2009. Is it? In journalism, temporary workers are called freelancers. In other industries, they're sometimes called contractual or seasonal workers. Whatever you call it, the average number of temporary and contract workers employed in the third quarter of last year was around 3.2 million across the country. Here in Washington State, the number of people employed by employment services as contractors was 41,800 last year. And that doesn't include all temps, seasonal and contract workers. Are you now, or have you ever been, a temp or contract worker? Is it good work? Well, of course, it depends on the deal. Tell us about your experiences with temp work. 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. Are you just biding your time until you get a permanent job? 800-289-5869. Or do you find that temp work works for you? Write to us, conversation at KUOW.org. Joining us with a closer look at the new temping economy, Stephen Greenhouse. He's the labor reporter for the New York Times. Stephen, thanks for being back with us. We appreciate it.
Nice to be here, Ross.
So what are the areas in the U.S. economy where we're seeing the biggest jump in temp work?
We're seeing increase in temp work in office professional jobs, somewhat in manufacturing. Traditionally, there are a lot of temp jobs in construction, but the construction industry remains somewhat down in the dumps, so we're not seeing that much temp there. But it's a lot of, jobs in offices. Someone needs an administrative assistant. Someone needs an accountant. Someone needs someone in a factory to help package because production is up and they don't want to hire lots of workers. I think what we're seeing, the reason we're seeing this big increase in temps is that a lot of employers just don't want to give workers, a full embrace of a full-time job. So we're seeing more independent contractors being hired, more freelancers being hired, more temps being hired. And that often means that employers have more flexibility when they want to let someone go. They don't have to worry about being sued so much. They don't have to worry about paying severance. And you can often pay temp workers less than you do your typical full-time worker. I think only 7% of temp workers get pensions through their employers, whereas 65% of full-time workers generally get pensions through their employers. And the numbers are about the same on health coverage. Only about 9% of temp workers get health coverage through their employers.
Stephen, there are a lot of contract workers here for Microsoft and some of the high-tech companies. A lot of them think they've got a pretty good deal going. They're well compensated despite the lack of benefits. They can take a chunk of time off. But when you look at temporary workers kind of across the board, would most of them really prefer full-time work?
Yeah, the surveys show that most temp workers would much prefer a regular full-time job. A few years back, I was in Seattle writing a story about Microsoft temp workers, and some were very happy to be temp contract workers because they would often be paid a premium, but others were grousing or complaining that they were perma-temps, that some workers were working as temps for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. In my book, The Big Squeeze, Tough Times for the American Worker, I write about a, quote, temp worker, unquote, who worked at HP, Hewlett-Packard, as a temp for 10 years. I think some temp workers are happy. Some contract workers are happy. They have the freedom. They could do a gig for 6 months. Others, especially ones who are temps for 2 or 3, 4 years for the same company, feel like second-class citizens. They feel they're doing the same work as the regular permanent full-time workers, yet they're often receive less benefits, less privileges. Maybe they don't have access to the company gym or the company basketball court. Mm-hmm. And there's this, two-tier type of workforce between the regulars and the temps.
We're talking about temp workers, contract workers. Maybe you've been one. Maybe you're one now. What do you think about it? 206-543-5869. 206-543-KUOW. What are the best parts? What are the worst parts? Maybe you're an employer who hires temporary workers. share your perspective on that. 800-289-5869. If you'd prefer, you can write to us, conversation@kuow.org. We've got Andrew on the line in Tacoma. We're going to go to him in just a moment. But Stephen Greenhouse, is the rise of the temps, you think, something temporary just because of the economic dislocation we've seen from the Great Recession? Will the number of percentage of temps recede if assuming the economy moves forward? What do you think?
That's a good question, Ross. Generally, after recession and when employers are hiring back, they're a little tentative about, well, do I really want to hire these people permanently, or they worry that the economy might stumble again because of things like the debt ceiling crisis and the fiscal cliff crisis. So I think a lot of them feel when we're starting to gear up and hire more people, it's best to hire temporary workers. That way, if I have to lay off someone in 3 months if the economy stalls again, it won't, you know, hurt the person's feelings so much. We might not have to pay severance costs. But when the economy really gets stronger, when unemployment really starts falling, I think, and when business confidence grows, then we often see the number of temps go down and the number of permanent hires go up.
Stephen Greenhouse is the labor reporter for the New York Times. We're talking about temp contract employment. Stephen, you mentioned the disadvantages to the employee who's on a temporary appointment. What about the employer? Are there any disadvantages for them having temporary employees?
Well, it cuts both ways. A lot of employers like having temporary employees because it's lower cost and it's kind of this try-by. They get to see whether this temp employee is any good, and if they, you know, taste the employee for 3 months or 6 months, they could see whether the employee is good or not, and they'll say that, you know, after 3 months, they say that's a really good person, a really creative, hardworking person. We're going to hire them full time. A problem that many employers face in hiring temps is a lot of the temps just aren't as dedicated. They're not as willing to, you know, go the extra mile as many full-time workers. On the other hand, we'll often hear that temp workers really want to impress the employer, really want to persuade them to hire him or her permanently. And some of them will bust their humps. You know, so some take a very lackadaisical attitude. They feel, I'm just a temp. Why should I, put out? Why should I go the extra mile? While others say, I'm here to really impress these people and to be hired permanently and full time. So I'm going to really do a bang up job.
Let's talk to some folks who have been in or are in this situation of working on a contract on a temporary basis, maybe as a freelancer, maybe doing seasonal work. We'll begin with Andrew, who's calling us today from Tacoma. Andrew, you're doing temp work?
Yes.
What is it?
Well, it's in the industrial realm, and it's very general. Sometimes it's machine operating. Sometimes it's other aspects of the industrial fixer. I usually run saws. Bandsaws, and there's not a lot of work for that right now. So these companies try to put you wherever they can.
So I gather this is, you're not working temp by choice. You'd much rather have a regular full-time job.
That's correct.
Stephen was mentioning sometimes, you know, temp workers could have a couple of different attitudes. One is not much dedication to the work, or they could be kind of go, go, go and try to impress people so that when a full-time job does open up, they'll be kind of at the top of the list. What's kind of your attitude towards the work, Andrew?
You know, I've felt both, and I like that he said that. It sounds very accurate. The difference between those two is, do I, as the worker, have confidence that a position might open up? Sometimes it's not always that guarantee. Sometimes it's, hey, you really put your nose to the work for 3 months, you'll get this position. So I think it has to do with, you know, what the future looks like in that position.
How about just the getting by? Are you getting paid a sufficient amount? Are there any kind of benefits with the temp work that you're doing? How about just the material benefits of the work?
It depends on who you're going with and what the position is. I've had some that are minimum wage, working alongside people who are making $14, $15 an hour. Sometimes I am getting that $14 or $15 an hour, and it's actually decent. And the company that I go through, they do offer health benefits. So that helps.
Andrew, thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Are you in that same situation or have you been? 206-543-5869. Maybe you've got a question for Stephen Greenhouse, the labor reporter for the New York Times, about the big picture here. We're talking about the advantages and disadvantages of temp work, and you can write to us at conversation@kuow.org. Let's go to Susan, who's listening to us today on Beacon Hill. Susan, I understand you're doing some contract work with Microsoft?
I have been for many years. With Microsoft, I actually did multiple different roles. I started out as a contractor, which they call ADASH, and then I was a full-time employee for several years. And then I actually came back to Microsoft as a vendor, which is called a VDash.
Now, why did you decide to leave the full-time job and then return as a contractor?
You know, I found that being a full-time employee at Microsoft was kind of stressful, and there were some things about it that I didn't like. There's, you know, obviously, as many people know, there's stack ranking at Microsoft, which is tough, and so you're often competing against your coworkers.
Could you explain that to people who, could you explain that to people who don't know what it means?
It just means that within every team, they rank everybody as employees, and the bottom 10% all get an underperformed no matter what they've done throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of pressure there. I would assume that would really lead to a lot of competition and maybe at the price of cooperation between workers if you're competing that way.
I also find that there's a number of long hours.
Yeah.
You often are expected to work nights and weekends, and that's just how it goes. When I came back as a vendor, I actually really appreciated it. I had a lot more flexibility to work more normal hours. You were getting paid by the hour. And my salary was somewhat equivalent while I didn't get benefits. Obviously, I realize there's a huge difference in benefits, but for me, it made more sense to have something that was more to my work style with less benefits.
Now, how about what your dedication to the job? Since you're not a full-time employee, does that make you more just deal with it as a job, or you don't feel as though you need to impress the people? You just need to do what needs to be done?
I really think so. One of the challenges is you have to be good at your job in order to keep getting rehired as a vendor. And so in that way, you do feel a certain commitment to your job to do it well, so that everybody knows that you were a good person to hire on. And for that reason, I was never without work. You always get passed from one person to the other.
Hey, Susan, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
No problem.
If you've been a temp worker or a contract worker, share some of your thoughts with us. If you just got a question about this situation around the country, give us a call, 1-800-289-5869. Or maybe you're someone who hires temporary workers. What are the advantages or disadvantages from your perspective? Stephen Greenhouse, labor reporter for the New York Times, is also with us on the line. Stephen, any reactions to those experiences?
I thought what Susan said was fascinating. I think she said, well, when she was a regular permanent worker at Microsoft, I think reading between the lines, she was saying she often worked 60, 70-hour weeks, often worked night times, often worked weekends. And I think she wanted some of her life back. So she said, well, I will opt to be a temp worker, contract worker. That way I can work maybe just 40, 45, 50 hours a week. And I imagine, you know, some employees who want to raise kids and have families might think, what's better, to do a temporary gig for 2 years or 3 years as a vendor, as a contract worker, rather than go whole hog as a regular permanent worker where you have to work these crazy 60, 70, 80 hours a week because you're worried that in the stack ranking you might end up on the bottom 10%. And maybe get laid off if, you know, you just work a regular 40-hour week.
Now, is it true that the temp workers will not be called upon to do extraordinary hours or something? Is that something that they're pretty much immune from because of their employment status?
I don't think they're immune from, but you know, temp workers are really paid by the hour. So if you're working, you know, more than 40 hours a week, then they're going to have to pay you time and a half. You know, you're hourly wage is probably not going to be, you know, much more than $10, $15 an hour, whereas if you're a salaried Microsoft worker, chances are you're not paid time and a half when you work more than 40 hours. That's the case for many, many salaried workers. You don't qualify for time and a half overtime. If they want you to work 70 hours that week, you work it, you don't complain, you don't put in for overtime, and that's how it works in salaried America.
Interesting. Let's go to Stephen, another Stephen. He's listening to us today up on Capitol Hill. If you just tuned in, we're talking about the many thousands of people in our state and millions around the country who are what you think of as temporary workers. There's a definite end date to their job. Maybe they're on contracts. Maybe it's seasonal. Maybe it's even a smaller piece of work. You're a freelancer. Tell us about working in that environment. Stephen, you hire temps, I understand.
Yes, Ross. Thanks for taking my call. I actually am starting a startup restaurant concept, actually, here on Capitol Hill and around the country. And because we're a startup and we're young, we're a little bit cash-strapped. And your guests made a good point about not necessarily knowing what the next 3 or 6 months will necessarily bring. And so being able to have the talent on board in terms of our chefs and our marketing people and that kind of stuff is really, really important for our business to grow. And the conversation that we have with folks along the way is, yes, we want you to be a full-time employee, but at the same time, you know, we can't afford that right now. And so let's work together with what needs to get done to grow the business. And when we get to a place where the business can afford to bring you on full time, that's the goal. And just kind of having an open dialogue with the individuals so that they know what the goal is broadly and sort of bringing everybody into the fold.
So they're kind of the idea is that they might be temp now, but they might be invested in the success because you're kind of holding out the idea they might get a full time job.
Very much so, yes.
And how's that working out for restaurant workers? Are people really trying to do that? I'm not sure whether in that business they couldn't just go somewhere else. Or how are you finding it?
So within the actual restaurant level employees, it doesn't work very well, and that's a very important distinction. It's between the difference is really between the management team, if you will, and like the executive chef and people into higher level within the organization. But you're right. For restaurant level employees, full time work or nothing is pretty much how it goes.
But even your executive chef is a temporary worker?
At the moment, yes. She's very, very talented, but we can't afford her full time yet. We're still a young company. So.
Hey, Stephen, thanks for telling us about that. I appreciate it. Let's go to our other Stephen, Stephen Greenhouse on the line. Stephen, have you heard of that before? Companies as startups kind of using temps and leveraging their interest in maybe making this a going concern as a way to kind of encourage them.
Yes, I have heard that. They're saying, you know, we're just getting off the ground. We don't know whether they're going to be here 6 months, a year from now. You're sort of promising them permanent work, but you're sort of saying, you know, business might turn down. We might not have enough customers in 6 months. We might have to, you know, lay off 20% of you. So you're sort of temporary. You're sort of part-time. You're sort of permanent. Another thing, you know, especially when the economy is better, there are people who like part-time jobs. They like doing this for 2 months and this for 3 weeks and this for 6 weeks because that way they could kind of get a sample of various employers and various types of occupations. And they say, yeah, you know, I like that one. I don't like that one. And maybe I'm going to go to graduate school in that one. So I think, you know, when unemployment is lower and it's easier to get jobs, a lot of people like tasting different jobs as temp employers. But I think now with unemployment so high, a lot of people feel if I can get a job, that's where I'm going to stay.
Stephen Greenhouse, you can read him in the New York Times and online. He's their labor reporter. Thank you so much for taking the time. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Russ.
We got this email from Spicer. My name is Spicer. Yes, my real name, writes Spicer. I've been getting temp gigs for the past couple of years. The biggest problem, I smoke medical pot. And with such ever-changing work environment, I'm constantly scared of getting busted in a system that doesn't allow that. Plus, I'm always having to meet and get to know a new group of coworkers. It's hard to always be so charming. And we got this from an anonymous correspondent who writes, some people bust their hump to impress the employer, but then don't get hired after a contract period. And so the motivation to impress goes down psychologically. I'm currently temping, and this has happened to me recently, temping at an internet company, and no benefits are given other than a flexible schedule. I'm basically on a no contract right now, so either of us could end it at any time. If you've got some more thoughts to share, go to our Facebook page, KUOW's The Conversation. See what other people have written and add your own comment. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.